This meeting is now being recorded.
All my life, and that is for 43 years, I've been holding strictly to the principle that you should not partake of sentient flesh of any kind or any poison of any kind. And I, for that reason, I have felt that you are doing a wonderful work, but I cannot understand why you draw the line on eggs.
This is Mr. Hackett?
Hackley.
Yes, that's all right. Sit down, please. About the eggs, you see. We are to use such like diet which is helping factor, you see. We want to have control over passions. Anything that goes to flare up passions, those are to be avoided.
I see, and eggs, they certainly do.
Yes.
So I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
For that reason, you see.
I understand, yes.
Because you have to go to a refined state, you want to refine that, even more eating.
Isn't there another reason, too? Don't they have something called chlorophyll or something in them?
Maybe anything. Main thing is like that. You know? One way we want to put on fire, the other you say enough for the even simple diet, you see. Even more diet is doing, you see. You just fill your belly from double to the gullet. That also said.
In other words, I have understood that several people didn't
eat eggs,
but I never knew the exact reason. But I have heard about them being very conducive to
But I tell you, there are no equivalent diets in the dietary system too. I'll give you a small prescription. Half of walnut. Two almonds. And molecularly,
Raisin
is small one. Like raisins it is, but black
grapes
dry. That is called mulaka that side. Grapes?
Currants.
Four currants, two almonds, and half walnut will give you the same for two eggs.
Let's see now. One walnut, two almonds, and a currant or raisin or something.
That will give you two.
That's
give
right.
Even that's more than that.
That will give you the same nourishment that the egg would give you.
Yes, sir.
I wish you would please give me your address before you leave.
I'll
mail you some information.
Where do you live?
I live at 4223 Southern Parkway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm very glad to see you all here, you see, gathered together. Yes. Half walnut.
Half a walnut, two almonds, and one currant.
No, four currants. Four. Four currants. Two almonds, half walnut.
Half walnut.
Well,
half a black walnut.
Well, the walnut is
Thank you so much, Mr. Hackett. The four currants. Here. Dr. Yuba Freeman from Dallas is holding
up
a hand.
Yes.
I'd like to understand why you do not tell them to stop smoking, using tobacco when you have them stop eating food. It's very harmful to the body.
We do stop them from smoking as soon as we can.
I mean, why do you demand that immediately like you do the others? Well, I'm asking now, I'm not criticizing.
Look at me.
Why is it tobacco isn't considered harmful?
All intoxicants, the word I use, all intoxicants. Smoking also intoxicants. Because when they're going to murder a man, they will smoke and then if it, they kill others.
I know, but I'm just saying, know, but you don't require them to stop smoking.
I always stop it, please.
Yes, beg your pardon?
I always stop it in India and everywhere. I say all intoxicants.
Well, they haven't stopped.
You know, no, stop, that's another thing. But I don't.
You don't require them.
No, there's no question. It doesn't. That, you see, it contains nicotine, you see. And if you want to continue, that also gives a fit.
Pardon me just a moment. Dr. Freeman, if they're smoking, they're not barred from the initiation.
That's what I mean.
And, but I think under the new ruling, they are, aren't they?
What?
Do they have to stop smoking before they can be initiated?
In talks, yes, I do in India.
Yeah.
Our masters also said,
well, we're starting it here.
300 or so many diseases only arise from smoking. 300 or 60 or so. Bad habit too, but still, it is a bad effect and gives intoxication too. It is intoxicating. And you'll find whenever a man is going to murder, he first have a smoke. And in that particular, generally you find like that. They give you fit. That's an injury, isn't it? False report.
That's it. You know to whom I refer, don't you?
Beg pardon?
I said, Ms. Hughes knows some of our leaders smoke.
Do you even say those who are leaders, they become perfect? They are the way all imperfect people, you have to carry work with them. But they must stop. There's no reason why they should not. If their leaders have done that, we... they just act like a bad example. Well, you're right there.
Because in our home, the big sign, no smoking.
Yes, but we didn't do that in the beginning, did we?
Always. In India, at least.
It's always in India.
Yes. Nobody allowed to satsang or anywhere, no smoking. Even others who come who are not in here, they're not also not allowed.
Yeah, not allowed.
Yes. Even those who are addicted to it, and they are.
They don't understand.
They're understanding.
I think I should make clear to them if not. That's all right. For future.
I'll let you tell them.
Yes,
you
yes.
Don't tell.
Intoxicants include, you see, smoke. Yes, I tell you one thing. Intoxicants, you see, for wines, etc., they affect all at once. This affects slowly, but that injurious. In the long run, it is said of a doctor, that 360 or so many diseases arise only by smoking.
But you
see,
religion is strictly forbidden to smoke.
Bad is bad, good, you see. Those who are addicted to that, they simply make little allowances. That's not to meet with their own purpose. This is bad. Not correct, please.
In the Path of the Masters, Dr. Johnson wrote that if we were smoking at the time of initiation, the time would come when God would give us something to take the place of the smoking.
Not that it's prohibited everywhere. They take it, that's another thing. But there are so many things prescribed and the people don't do it. They should.
Are there any other questions?
I'd like to have the eggs.
Yes, they are sattvic, what they do. They don't create any other things. It is helping for it. All nuts, they are proteins.
Any others? What about you, Elsie? Leon?
Margie, what can we do or what must we do in order to increase in us the feeling of love, which is the...
I think I replied to you last night about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't here then.
Oh, that is tape regularly recorded last night, I think. That was recorded. I just gave it.
You get it from Jack Hall.
Love is already ingrained in you. Simply with love from outside in you. That's run far in the company of those who have got love. This comes by radiation. And the more you come in contact with the light and sound principle, that is love personified. The more you come in touch with that, the love in you will flare up. And the outer company of those who are lovers of God, that will give you very great impact.
Any more?
Yes, please.
When you say no drugs, does that also mean no medications that are prescribed sometimes by physicians?
I never said anything about drugs.
I thought that said that on the initiation paper.
Like what?
I thought I read that on the paper, on the application, no drugs.
No drugs mean intoxication drugs, not the treatment.
Yeah, but medicines would be all right if
medicines, you see, that is only to help you. Naturally, nowadays, people are coming around to appreciate the natural healing, natural way of healing by vegetables and other things. But anyhow, if that is required, that is only medicine do little or nothing, I tell you. It is the soul that has the curative power. We simply clear the way. To help the soul.
Miss Smith, do you want to ask him some?
He's answering
everything I want to know. Yes? That's John Young.
I was a master the other day when Mr. Connor was blind school.
Yes.
He said there was a homeopathic medicine you should take to stop smoking in 3 days.
Yes, that is Calcadia Pass, they say. Calcadia Pass 3X. Aversion. That comes from aversion, like aversion for smoking. Calcadia Pass 3X, put it in a glass of water and sip it, say, every 5 minutes for 2 hours or so.
That will cure you from smoking?
That will give you aversion to smoking.
Aversion.
Aversion. Hate it. You won't like to smoke. Yes. Well, what? Calcadia Fast 3X. 3X is the potency. 3X? X, not eggs. X is the potency, you see? Homeopathy doctor. You can get from homeopathy.
What is it
all? It is calcium, you see? Calcium and phosphorus. Combined 3X.
Cashman of phosphorus.
Calcium.
Calcium.
Calcium. Calcium.
Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium.
Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium.
Calcium. Calcium.
Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. Calcium. That he's getting his wife treated by a homeopath. Somebody told me the other day. Everywhere in
Portland.
No, somebody told me here that he's getting his wife treated by a homeopath. So much.
All right. If he's here, I'll find him. Now, you want to give... No, wait. See what the... See what the young man wants.
What is the dose? Three teaspoons in a glass of water.
Oh, no. Those are tablets, you see, prepared. You put it 8-10 tablets in a glass of water, you see. And then have a small spoonful, take every 5 minutes. one spoon, two spoons, like that.
This is a young man staying.
But the press release.
Are we supposed to tell the new applicants for initiation to stop smoking before their exemption?
Well, just this one. That is, I tell you one thing. Some are such like thing with you instantaneous. They affect very quickly. Smoking affects later, but it is to be stopped. They should stop.
Now, do you wish to give your message?
Should I? What message do I have to give?
I I'll give you a talk then.
Go on. Well, you said, you know, Christ once said to his disciples, I don't want to make you slaves, but as friends. Slaves do not know what your friend could be. Slaves only know just do what he said. Friends, you see, you can appreciate anybody if you just work along with him, see what he's doing. You like a sweeper going by, that won't. So Christ said, I make you my friends. So I think it is better to address you as friends. Because I've told you many times that I'm a man like you. The same privileges that you have got from God. But in a way I have dwelt in a certain way, you have not. And that dwellment is due to the grace of God or the God working through my master. That is how to die while alive, how to be reborn, how to be cut off from the attachments of the world, body and other things. That's the way it is within you already. So, I love you as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard to you as well. So my point is, you see, what I would like to bring to your notice especially, the initiation does not mean that you become perfect. That is the way to perfection. One does not become a satsangi simply by being initiated. Satsangi word means, sat means unchangeable permanence, and sangi means who is in contact with it constant. We have been put on the way just to analyze our soul, our mind and outward faculties, and have some touch, contact with God power. When you remain a constant companion of that God power, then only you become a true satsangi. Now you have been. I have got something, of course, to start with, how to contact. But unless you begin to be conscious of that power all through, you are not a true satsangi. So, we have to mold our lives in accordance with the principles of satsang in thought, speech, and action. Simply you take medicine and put it in the shelf. Would you? Your disease will go. So, all masters say, those who live up to what they are told, and they are saying that he is my master and I will slave. Let's see, a father has 4 or 5 children. Some children just obey him, others do not. And some children, even not by obedience, he surrenders to the will of his father. Well, father does, as I told you yesterday, when you surrender, he becomes your slave. If you have got a son, very obedient, he just works up to your intentions. They never ask for anything. I think what the father does, when he leaves, he simply hands over the key to that son, not to everybody. He says, well, all right, look to the interests of others, don't let others not starve. So similarly, those who live up to what they are told, that is what is required. Mere obedience, first of all, love requires, if you love me, keep my commandments, as I told you yesterday. We don't keep up commandments. Some do with some modifications, you see. We suit their own interests. Unless we live up to 100% what the Master says, we cannot truly to know what is God. So, actions speak louder than words, and thoughts are even more potent. It's so Sangha must lead a daily conduct, must reveal what he is, not what he says, but what he is. You say, love all and see whether he loves all. If he loves all, whether he is always ready to help others without any show. If he still loves, is he ready to sacrifice his everything for him? So not only everybody can know so much about these things, you see. Libraries are full of them. Scriptures are full of them. It's just what you say. Loading an ass with books. What is it that? If you paddle, you see, on the spoon moves in a sweet dish, do you mean that taste anything out of that? To know so many things in your brain will do you little or no good, and perhaps will do more evil than good. Because you act in power. Why know so much? But you don't live up to it. The main thing is you must live. And live not willy-nilly, you see. But with love and love and devotion. So, obedience comes next. And obedience also is not sufficient, we should surrender. This is what is needed. And all masters have been saying like that. If one of you people just find some shortcoming in you, what they say? What's the sense of like that? Like a master teaches that way. Some people have been writing to me on account of some shortcomings here and there. I always reply to them, pity it is that I have to carry on with imperfect people. They are all not perfect. They are all on the way to perfection. Those who are on the way to perfection here, that they do. Wow. So just forgive and forget, and we should be on the way for the common cause of God. So that is why what is needed. Live up to what is needed. Truth is above all. But true living is still above truth. People don't know whether you can have contact with the light of God or not. They'll see how you live, how you behave, what your treatment with others. Are you fighting with others for selfish motives? Are you just usurping others' rights? Are you just sucking the blood of others? They'll see you from that level. If your life, you see, says about. If this glass is besmeared with filth, light is there, but that won't give it light. The mind should be quite clean, without any dust. So our hearts must be what we have got in the heart, that should be at our mouth. And what is at our mouth, that should agree with our thought. When these three agree, there's agreement between the three, consider it right. Sometimes you do one thing for many days, that becomes habit. Habit returns into nature. It's very difficult to then to remove that habit, that nature which has found, because our nature is. So first of all, what to do? I would say perform no action in secret. Then no doubt you'll find this thing very helpful. Perform no action in secret. If anything requires secrecy, abandon it at once. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. This is first, that's the criterion of a sin. You want secrecy. That's considered in all our ways of life. Then, further, do nothing which after being done lead you to tell lies. That's also criterion for something wrong, you see. To do one sin that followed by lying, because you want to conceal it, you see. I tell you, the criterion of a saint is one. You find him everywhere like that, in or out, at midnight or daytime, at the pulpit or in his private rooms. Half a saint, when we go to the pulpit, we give very long yarns of talk. But when they go to the secret, they do not arrive. Well, mind that. God is in between you, and God power, also, the God in man, also, watches him. How can you deceive him? You can deceive others. Our master used to say, if a child is sitting, or 5 years old is sitting, you won't do anything unbecoming in his presence. You require secrecy. When you think the master, when he gives initiation, that God power just takes possession of you within, he looks to the very thoughts that arise, he knows the very trend you are following, then how can you deceive him? So I always say, be true to your own self. So if you are true to your own self, how can you deceive others, you see? So this is the main criteria, you see. And further, don't desire evil for anyone, irrespective of creed or color, even in thought. That's the next to come. Anyone, not necessarily your initial brother, you see. Anyone. Because whatever thought arises there, you see, that poisons you. Others don't know, but you're being poisoned. And by radiation you'll find thoughts are more potent. I gave you, I think the other day, the example of Akbar the Great, the king, great king of India. Birbal was his minister. He told him whatever a man thinks about anybody, that reaction of the smiles. He said, how can that be proved? The minister took him away to some place or roadside. One man was coming at a distance and told the king, just think anything about him in your mind. The king was going bareheaded, he said. He thought about that man coming, I should shoot him. In his mind. When he came by, he passed by him, he said, well, look here, tell me truly, I forgive you. What did it strike to you when you saw my face? He said, I thought in the face I should break your head. That reacts, he said. Never think evil of others. These are the things we think evil of others, my man. When we say anything against anybody, what is it? It is thinking evil of others. When we backbite, what do? We think evil of others. When we make parties with one or the other, what we do? you tell me that this side something, that side something. You are deceiving your own self. And the God in you sees you. That was I may mention to you today, everyone. There are all those controversies going on. They go on in my life.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the first half of a talk entitled, What is a True Satsangi? And it was recorded on November the 14th, 1963. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. Within this earthen vessel are bowers and groves, and within it is the Creator. Within this vessel are the seven oceans and the unnumbered stars. The touchstone and the jewel appraiser are within, and within this vessel the eternal soundeth, and the spring wells up. Kabir says, listen to me, my friend. My beloved Lord is within. I'll be reading from Master's talk called Within This Mortal Form, published in the September 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. When a soul reaches the stage of a conscious co-worker in the divine plan, the burden of its karma of eons past is lifted by the soul gaining knowledge and realization that the Lord is the doer always and not the self. When I-hood, ego, and attachment vanish, so the balance of the karmic debts is written off. The soul, rising above the law of cause and effect, at once ceases to sow any new seeds in the fields of action. A guru has in his charge the means of bringing the souls back to God. Although only those accepted by the Lord himself are eligible for this inner path to the source, yet they must get the key of the door from the guru, who not only opens the way, but guides the soul through and on the extent of the entire journey. The teaching of such masters is one and the same, for they also have searched and traversed the inner path that lies within the mortal form, until they reached the ultimate realization of themselves and of the Lord. He alone knows the highest who has himself reached that height. The true master's teaching is not of outer knowledge, which is the apravidya category, covering all practices having connection with body, mind, intellect, or senses. Neither is the ultimate goal achieved in this category, for while good actions bring forth good fruit, yet they do not put a stop to coming and going in creation under the law of cause and effect. Masters never interfere with outer teachings, however, because they come to fulfill and not to destroy. Furthermore, man is a social being, and it is not necessary for him to live in society. And it is necessary for him to live in society, and so must necessarily form his customs, mode of living, etc. The masters come to tell us simply to realize God. When little girls are small, safe under their parents' protection, they play with dolls and other toys, thereby unwittingly acquainting themselves with a housewife's duties in preparation for a future phase of life. Similarly, outer buildings of worship are made to help man's understanding. But God does not reside in man-made models. He resides in the temple of the human form, upon which the outer edifices are molded. The Hindu temple is dome-shaped, somewhat like the human head, while Christian churches have nose-shaped spires. The mihrab of the Muslim mosque is forehead-shaped, and in all these buildings, the symbols of God's light and sound are displayed. But our own mihrab, or forehead, is the place where man can really hear the true sound and actually see the light of God. So it then becomes obvious that the human form is the true temple of the Lord. We respect the outer things that have been made with holy purpose, for people are trying to learn the truth through them. But if a person spends his whole life trying and does not succeed in realizing his aim, what is the use? Outer temples, mosques, etc. are for those people whose eye as yet has not been opened, but for those who can see the body is the temple of the Lord. O ignorant man, that which you seek already resides within you. He is within, but you procrastinate to go within where he resides. It is also said, everything is within this house. Nothing is outside. Those who search without, they remain in delusion. If one does not seek the thing in the direction in which it lies, how can one expect to find it? There is no harm in attending places of worship, but if no inroad has been made within yourself, then you are very far from God realization. Tulsi Sahib very frankly says, "What great tragedy attending the imitation mosque or temple. Misery's burden increases thereby for the dweller of the natural mosque. A man enters a temple and rings the bell, but without a true master, he will remain outside the true temple, wherein the true light is burning and the sound of God's Naam is resounding. Whilst going on the Hajj Kaaba, I met the Lord, who asked me sternly, 'Who told you I was there?' Kabir describes how he was going on pilgrimage to Mecca when God arrested his intentions, pointing out the futility of going so far when he is within Kabir's own self. All holy places have been made in the remembrance of some master or other, and we have every respect for them. But what of the instructions of those masters who told that God is within us? In the Holy Quran it says, 'I am that hidden treasure within you.' Why toss around outside in a bewildered state? Body is the temple of God, and the jewel of knowledge is apparent within. When you realize that one you are trying to remember, then you have succeeded. The first step is to increase our remembrance. One bed is spread for husband and wife. The husband is ever awake, but wife sleeps on. Both God and the soul reside in the same place, but the soul is sleeping in illusion and attachment. Deep in this forgetfulness, it roams around outside in a dreamlike state. If only it would withdraw its attention from all this, it would find the beloved waiting there. It would discover that they have never really been separated. But wherever the attention goes, it absorbs that kind of knowledge. Naturally, if it goes farther and farther in an outward direction, all its knowledge will be the outer kind. Our Hazur Baba Sawan Singh Ji used to give the example of a man sitting in a room. One may not expect him to be there, but on entering, naturally one will encounter him. The body is enlivened while the soul remains. When it leaves, body crumples to dust. What is that which enlivens the body? We, the soul, but only as long as the soul, remain in the body. It is an astonishing fact, however, that the body has so many doors or outlets, and yet the soul is unable to run out through any of them. That is due to some power holding it there in the body, and that power is the Lord. In the language of the Masters, it is called Nam. O Nanak, Nam controls everything. With great good fortune is it attained. There are millions of created worlds in existence, and with what perfect control and movement. Not once do they clash with each other. When the controlling power withdraws, dissolution occurs. When that power leaves the body, the soul must also leave. So God is within us. The nine supernatural powers of Amrit are the Lord's Nam, which resides in this body. He is the very life sustainer of us all. Inexpressible, inconceivable is the infinite Nam. This beloved Nam is exceptionally sweet. Nam is not a subject which can be seen or studied outwardly. For this science, one must withdraw from outer things. Neither can it be expressed in words. One must rise above to understand even a little of its nature. When mind and senses are stilled, there is great love in the heart for the Lord, which is like a sweet nectar. All masters tell us that all the glory and beauty lie within. Why then bother to waste precious time on outer things? For only while in the human form can one realize God. It is man's hereditary right to do so. But how many claim that right? One can say that soul is a model of the Lord on a similar scale, of course, on a smaller scale, of course. Kabir says that this is God's entity. The Masters tell us God speaks through a human form. How can God speak to us without the human form? It is a very intriguing house into which we have been born. A Persian saint says, "You within are the very life of all worlds, all knowledge. The two worlds lie within you, who are the mother of all books. All the knowledge contained in all the holy scriptures came from within. How did this happen? Those enlightened souls who went within tapped the inner knowledge and brought it outside. It follows, therefore, that a similarly enlightened soul who traverses inside can teach us the same science. If a person desires to go on a pilgrimage, he should take along someone who has already done the same pilgrimage. What difference does his creed or nationality make as long as he has the knowledge? If you start going within, you also will obtain that inspiration of knowledge. You will also hear the voice which comes from far above the earthly existence. Just search in this wonderful house wherein you are residing. But unfortunately, we show it little respect. The journey starts from above the senses, for where the world's philosophies end, there true religion starts. How many examples can be given? All the masters tell us the same things in slightly different modes of expression. The outer teachings are but elementary, and the true spirituality has merely a mention, and so people are very far from the truth. Unless the soul rises above the senses, even the meaning of the word spirituality cannot be grasped. So this is the level at which the masters start the knowledge. They all tell us to search within the mortal form, which is itself the biggest granth or scripture, a huge Bible, gigantic Vedas. The path was sought within, and then the master's secret was found. Only those who seek within will find the true path. Filling our minds with the knowledge of entire libraries will hardly give us an indication of the truth. Supposing a person reads all the medical books in existence, but he has no qualified doctor as a tutor, how will he get a complete knowledge of the subject? The theoretical side is all right, but what about the practical side, the anatomy, the surgery, pathology, etc., and the clinical work of the physician, all of which require practical tuition? Practice is very necessary as well as the study of books. Holy scriptures are the guru's shop, which point the way to get across. But without a Satguru, one cannot understand until he comes in human form. Man's best teacher is man, a personality who is the very form of truth in the human form, who has gone within himself and has experienced truth himself, is the only competent master to give the true meaning of all the scriptures. Those people who want to bind the knowledge of the holy books to the level of the intellect will go into error. In the New Testament, it indicates how God did not give the inner secret to the worldly wise, but rather to the innocents, like children, the pure in heart, who are free from biased thoughts and beliefs. The intellectuals did not get it. What I want to impress upon you is that this knowledge is a practical thing. We are very grateful to all the religious orders which have kept the holy scriptures and records in safekeeping all through the years, especially the Holy Quran and the Guru Granth Sahib, which are even today still intact in their original forms, with nothing changed. Other scriptures, through the decades, have been subjected to changes in the original texts. The very meaning of the word religion gives direct information. Re means back, and lihio, to bind the soul back to God. This is a task which can be done only above the consciousness of the body. The masters teach this science, and they give true interpretation of the scriptures. Those who have not seen the truth go on saying, this is it, that is it. What is the outcome of all this intellectual wrestling? As one Persian saint can reply for us, O seekers of God, you have lost him in the folds of the mind. The ABC of spirituality starts above the body. The macrocosm is within the microcosm of the body. There are worlds within worlds. Whatever is in Brahmand is in the physical. Whosoever seeks will find it. The astral plane is far more vast than the physical plane, and the causal or Brahmand even greater. As Maulana Rumi plainly says, how can a single particle of sand compare itself with the entire desert? The very thought of such approach to the subject baffles the intellect. There are planets in their orbits which can be seen with the naked eye, but only every 5,000 or so years. How old, then, is creation? How many creations are there? What to speak of the astral and causal planes? To understand that man is something great is the first lesson. It is said that a single word from the Lord brought the whole of creation into being, and man's soul is the entity of that Lord. You are a ray of the great sun. If you become a single focused attention, you have great power potential. Could you not then make one small town? Everything is in this body. When you meet the Guru, you will see with your own eyes that everything is within. Within each man, the lamp burns incessantly. Kabir says, this lamp burns perpetually without wick or oil. Paltu Sahib says, there is an inverted well in the Gagan, or seat of the soul, wherein a lamp is a light with neither wick nor oil, and that inverted well is in the seat of the soul. A voice emits from the flame of this lamp. Through gaining samadhi, one can hear it. Only those who go into samadhi can hear it, and it can be heard on the first day. The light within and the continuous sound rejoin you to the True One. That is the meaning of returning to our true home. It is mentioned also in the Upanishads that the sun of Mahabrahmand is within, and the sound is vibrating there, the secret teaching of which was given to the son of Devaki, Lord Krishna, by Ingris Rishi. Truth is one, and the true teaching has been in existence for countless ages. The light does exist within, but it must be manifested to be seen. Unfortunately, we are too lost in the outer environments to have the incentive to withdraw and seek that light. Within the one whose 10 senses are in control, that light becomes effulgent. If you withdraw from outer consciousness, you will find the light already there, within. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. All mankind is one. This is the very basic teaching of the Masters. All men come with the same God-given privileges and are born in the same manner. The outer and inner construction of the physical form is the same in everyone. So physically we are the same, and spiritually all souls are entities of the one Lord. We are all brothers and sisters in God, and are all worshippers of the one omnipotence. Call him by any of the various names. Hundreds of lovers, but the beloved is one for all. All the religions may be different, but their work is the same. So the very first thing the masters do is teach mankind the oneness, the unity in all men, the unity that already exists, but we have forgotten it. Regardless of a man's religion, whether he be a Hindu, Sikh, Christian, or other, to experience the light of God within makes him a true worshiper of the Lord. If the symbols of light and sound are found in the places of worship of all the religions, what actual difference can there be? They were all made with the same purpose, remembrance of God, to achieve the realization of God. However, a man may spend all his life attending these models, but to no avail unless he enters the original of those models, the God-made temple of his own physical form. I will take a hymn of Guru Amar Das, which explains this very subject, that you must search within the physical form if you want to realize the Lord. This mortal form is very beautiful when the Beloved resides there. Another master puts it this way, in each form is my Beloved. There is no place without him. But overawed am I by that form wherein he is manifested. He is a true master within whom the light is effulgent. Through such a master, our scattered attention can be concentrated and controlled. One becomes the one who sees and is then able to say with authority that this form is very beautiful. The form in which the Lord manifests, in which the light is effulgent, is more beautiful than the rest. This hymn was written by Guru Amar Das after his own experience. Applications of cosmetics, etc., do not make the physical form beautiful, but the thought of God and union with him show in a person's countenance, and that person transforms into something very beautiful. Many years ago, about 40 or 50 years back, I read a book in which it related of a girl who was so ugly of feature that none wished to marry her. She despaired finally and left her hometown, taking up residence in a small village and spending all her time in the remembrance of the Lord. Some years passed by in this wise. Remember, whatever our thoughts, so will our face and form change. One can very easily estimate the type of a man's daily occupation from his outer facial appearance. So, after a few years, a certain man stated his desire to marry the girl, who was astounded, saying, "But I am the one who has ever been rejected." He told her that she was indeed very beautiful, and to look into the mirror if she could not believe his words. This is a simple story illustrating the fact that one's entire features can change according to the thoughts one indulges, the eyes, the forehead, even gestures. Whatever a man's thought, so he becomes. The form that is drenched in the Lord's remembrance is truly beautiful, and even those who come into contact with that form and are connected to it will be changed by the radiation which issues forth from it. As I have mentioned, as a person thinks, so he becomes, and also each person has his own radiation, his own smell. Spiritual people have radiation of blue and golden light. Those who are drenched in love for God are called masters. Those who have open eyes can see that radiation. Our Hazur used to say that a person's character can be seen as clearly as the contents in a glass jar, and one can easily tell whether they are pickle or jam. There is also a smell or fragrance. Once Hazur was walking home from his office when he noticed the perfume of a delightful fragrance. He looked around but could see no person nearby, and so continued walking. But after some small distance, he came upon a fakir sitting by the wayside, and there was a distinct radiation around him. So you see, people who really meditate can experience the inner fragrances and can also see the manifestations from within. Again, from his own experience, Guru Amar Das stated once, "From being low, we become pure, brothers, by coming to the Lord's feet." The sinking stone was drawn out from poisonous outgoing faculties. All praise to him. This tells how masters were also at the sense level once, but through God's grace they reached the pure stage. He also mentioned that a man can smell like burning rags, but even that can change to a sweet fragrance. If you want to see your own aura, stand with your back to the sun and look at the shadow of your shoulders, which falls, and according to your type of life, so that type of ray will issue forth at that place. Those with the yogic eye can see this very clearly, just as Hazur could see if a man were more like pickles or jam. One who has constant remembrance of God and has contact with him within experiences a change in his bloodstream, which incurs a change throughout the system, including the features, countenance, etc. People who are receptive can be aware of and have the benefit of such radiation. The gift of the masters is free. If you visit a perfumery, even without buying any of the perfume, you will at least get the fragrance free. If you keep a single flower in a room, the room will become fragrant with the scent of it. Our Hazur once visited my village, and afterwards I locked up the room he had used, and whosoever entered that room at any time could hear the sound vibrating there. That place now lies in the territory of Pakistan. Masters have very powerful radiation. They are the mobile god on earth, and the company of such personalities is called satsang. And I will end this morning's reading right there. And thank you, Master, for your wonderful words.
Thank you, Christine, for reading for us. Would you tell us again what you're reading?
Sure. It is called Within This Mortal Form, published in the September 1974 issue of Sat Sandesh.
Okay, thank you. We had 77 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.